This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
America's central bank moves to unload its big stash. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Markets moved from green to red yesterday after the Federal Reserve released the notes from its March meeting. These show that our central bankers are closer to selling more of that pile of Treasury bonds they've accumulated. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is live from Washington. Nancy, why the surprise on markets?
David, after the financial crisis, the Fed bought lots of Treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities. It was kind of like an injection of cash into the economy, and it helped keep interest rates low. You remember this is known as quantitative easing. So now, the Fed appears to be concluding the economy is strong enough for it to start trimming its huge balance sheet of bonds. Investors knew this was coming, but not quite this soon.
And how might that affect investors moving forward?
When the Fed starts shrinking its bond portfolio, interest rates will rise. Now, when interest rates go up, bond prices fall. So you might see investors selling their bonds now and buying bonds with a higher yield again later when prices fall. The Fed minutes also show that some Fed officials are afraid the economy might start overheating. They see stocks as overvalued. They can cool off the economy by raising interest rates.
Nancy, thank you. Let's do this morning's numbers. The FTSE index in London is down 0.5%. The Hang Seng index in Hong Kong fell 0.5%. The Nikkei in Tokyo fell 1.4%. U.S. stock index futures this morning have turned up, all by less than 0.1%. Now, economics and education. Having at least one black elementary school teacher can reduce the dropout rate of low-income African-American students. This new study from the Institute of Labor Economics finds that the high school dropout rate is reduced by nearly a third for those students who had at least one black teacher between the third and fifth grades. Reporter Allison Keyes has more on this role model effect and future income.
Study co-author Nicholas Papageorge explains that for African-American students, having at least one black teacher affects their expectations.
Kids that we're seeing, especially the ones who are economically disadvantaged, they might not have a lot of role models, people that look like them and who also attended college. So they might just think college isn't something that is for them.
He says teacher expectations also affect a student's chances of success.
Teachers who form low expectations about students don't put any effort in them, or that they move resources away from some of these kids.
Ashley Griffin at the nonprofit Education Trust says African-American teachers can plant a seed.
Being beyond necessarily a bagger at a grocery store, owning the grocery store is something that teachers often talked about.
Johns Hopkins Papageorge adds that there's a simple economic argument to be made.
High school dropouts are really expensive. They cost society a lot.
One of the best ways to earn more money, he says, is to finish high school and go to college. In Washington, I'm Allison Keyes for Marketplace.
This month, we're looking at what automation is doing to and doing for jobs in America. It's something that might be bigger than all the globalization that dominates discourse. Next week on the program, you can hear my road trip through the Midwest in search of what I'm calling robot-proof jobs. But this morning, know that it's not just low-skilled jobs that are vulnerable. Machines, algorithms, robots are eating away at the middle, the kind of skilled ones. Eric Brynjolfsson is an economics professor at MIT's Sloan School of Business. He's co-author with Andrew McAfee of the bestseller, The Second Machine Age. The old trend, he told me, was a fairly straight line.
Low-skilled jobs falling in demand, middle-skilled jobs sort of in the middle, and high-skilled jobs increasing in demand, you know, change that's biased towards the high-skilled groups. More recently, it's become sort of more of a bowl shape, where people in the middle are really the ones who are being hammered most. Middle-skilled jobs like technicians, middle managers, travel agents, jobs that require some information processing skill, but they're not, you know, PhDs or superstar rock stars. One of the results has been that median income, the income of the person at the 50th percentile, is lower today than it was in the late 1990s, about 20 years ago. It's a remarkable thing that's never happened before in American history to have wages stagnate for the typical person for that long a period.
And here's the thing. Sometimes people went to college. That doesn't guarantee you a whole lot these days.
It doesn't guarantee you, but I just want to be clear. Certainly people with college educations still significantly outperform people with only a high school or less education. They have less unemployment, but they're not seeing their wages grow the way they used to. And especially the people sort of at the middle or low end of the college-educated group, they have been hit hardest. Think of a tax preparer. That was something that requires, you know, a certain bit of skill with numbers and logic and working through complicated tax law and forms. But increasingly, machines are doing that. A lot of us use TurboTax or other sorts of programs to take care of the routine parts, routine information processing that humans used to be uniquely good at.
Did you see who H&R Block just hired to do some of this work?
Yeah, they hired my friend IBM Watson, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's far from perfect, and there's nuances and a lot of judgment that have to be applied. But the thing about Watson is it just keeps improving, keeps getting better and better. And once it learns something, it doesn't forget it.
Erik Brynjolfsson, thank you for this.
My pleasure.
A few weeks ago, two other economists shocked their discipline by publishing statistical evidence that adding more robots in factories was associated with fewer jobs in general and lower wages. That's not the last word on this, but that is not supposed to happen. Starting Monday, the first part of my audio documentary on what workers and society should do about all this will show up as an extra in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed or at marketplace.org if you're interested. Robot-proof jobs. I'm David Brancaccio. And this is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.